Hello and hi, this is Charles Kelly, Money Tips. Good to see you again. Thanks for tuning in on Facebook Live and onto my website, moneytipsdaily.com, and my podcast, which is available on iTunes and Stitcher and a few other places. But you can find all the full transcripts of everything on my website, moneytipsdaily.com. Just to introduce myself, and for those of you who might not know me, I'm Charles Kelly, former IFA. I was in financial services for about 25 years before running another business. I've run several businesses, actually. I've worked for banks, insurance companies, and my own IFA practice. I've also been a counsellor, sat on planning committees, and was even a mayor for a short while. So that's just a bit of background about me. I'm also the author of a book called Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness, which is about money, happiness, making money, keeping money, saving money, and enjoying money. Now, today I want to talk to you about population, and just to tell you that, a lot of people. I wrote a piece last week about Brexit and how investors were holding back because of Brexit. They think, well, all the Europeans are going to go home, and maybe I shouldn't invest. Or, because they get a bit of a void on their room or their property, they think, oh, because all the Eastern Europeans have gone home. Well, I doubt that's really going to happen. First of all, most of the countries in Europe are either in recession or they have a stagnant growth, and they're not doing very well. They have high unemployment. And, that includes countries with big economies like Italy, France, Germany, which is slipping into recession. But Spain and Portugal are really basket cases. And a lot of the Eastern European countries as well are not doing that well. We all hear about how well Poland is doing, but I know lots of Polish people and they've got no intentions of going back to Poland because they're settled here. So the first thing is not all the countries have very good economies. And the reason people come here is to get jobs. And there are jobs in the UK. There's low unemployment. There's record in employment. There's record of people in employment. So that's a good plus factor, and it's a good place to live. English is a good language to know. It's a common sort of worldwide language. We have good rule of law here, good schools, free education, free healthcare. So why wouldn't people want to live here? Even people in other European countries you talk to, they say, well, healthcare is not free in my country. And I've been to some of the European countries, and they're pretty poor. I read today that Bulgaria, I think over 3% of its income, its GDP, is down to just European grants pumping the money into the country. And so why would people want to go back there? I've been to a lot of these countries, and I can see that there's not a lot there to go back to. So I wouldn't be fooled by this thing that all the Europeans will be leaving. It's just absolute rubbish. Secondly, if they're settled here, then they've got kids at school, they're in housing, they've got a job. Again, why would you just uproot and leave? Now, we might be losing professionals like doctors and nurses, but doctors and nurses have traditionally been transient anyway. I recruited nurses for over nearly 15 years from countries, and the best countries to find the nurses were frankly places like the Philippines and India, because once they got here, they had a work permit, they would stay in one place, they would settle here. Maybe after 5-10 years, they might go somewhere else. Whereas when we recruited from European countries, particularly countries like Spain, they would only stay a few months. Sometimes, well, I don't like this country, I'm going home. No, I'm going to go home and do nothing and live with my parents. We'd go over there and find them unemployed, and yet they were so fussy when they got here. Some of them thought the work was too hard, or they didn't like the accommodation, or they just didn't like it, or they didn't like the weather. They wanted to be back in Spain every other week, and a lot of them didn't last that long. Sorry if you're from Spain, but this is my own experience. So European nurses have always been a bit transient in my experience. So today I read then, okay, so that's a bit about Europe and, the Brexit effect. If you want to check out my episode on property and the Brexit effect, have a look at that. And by the way, on the subject of Brexit, today we've had more shenanigans in Parliament. John Bercow refused to the government permission to present the bill again today, but maybe they're going to present it tomorrow. I don't understand it. But anyway, he appears to be blocking Brexit and blocking any Brexit deal. But there you go. So Brexit, we don't know whether it's going to happen on the 31st of October or not. Some people say we'll enter into recession if we come out of the EU, possibly. But There is another good reason why I think property is still a good long-term investment, and that is that the UK population is set to pass 70 million by 2029. That I grew up thinking that, you know, at a time when the population in this country was 55 million or so, then it was 60 million, now it's more like 65 million, but they're predicting 70 million in 2029. Is that not a long way away? That's like, what, 10 years? It's incredible. So, and this is according to the ONS projections. Right, now, just to analyse that, this is the UK's population will exceed 70 million before the end of the next decade, according to the Office for National Statistics. It's 65.6 million. That was in 2016, according to the census. That's the most accurate record you can get, although not everyone will complete a census if, you know, they're living in homes of multiple occupation, or, you know, you have a lot of relatives living in the house, you might not want to declare it on the census, etc. So what this, that 65.6 million, but there's probably a million at least of undocumented migrants in the country. They're not going to put their names down on any census, and you know, we don't know exactly how many undocumented migrants are, because they are by virtue undocumented, but it was estimated at, you know, 600,000 many, many years ago, about 10 years ago. So their projections are now for 3.6 million or 5.5% increase over the next 10 years. So 3.6 more million people over the next 10 years. And with the 70 million mark passed by 2029. And these projections are actually a downgrade of previous projections because of Brexit. And I know from working as a councillor that housing projections were brought down last year, that they said initially the government said you've got to build like 9,000 homes in your area. Then they started backpedaling a bit and saying, well, maybe you won't have to build that many houses in your area. Of course, by this time the residents had all heard about it and they were up in arms, you know, shouting at meetings and that sort of thing. But it looks like so these figures are post-Brexit type of figures. They're assuming that less people will come in from Europe, and maybe people would leave, or there'd be net migration would be reducing. So this is, as it said, 2 years later than the 2014 projection that the UK population would exceed 70 million by 2027. So now it's say we'll exceed 70 million by 2029 instead of 2027. And the reason for this is that since 2014, the study and the assumption of net migration of 185,000 a year has been cut to 165,000 a year. Net migration means the amount of people leaving the country as against the amount of people coming in, and it was at 185,000. It's been around 200,000 for years, maybe 10 years. It's slightly come down. They're saying it will be cut to 165,000 a year, while the expected number of children per women has been cut from 1.89 to 1.84, so not a lot of difference there, with growth in life expectancy trimmed for men, because life expectancy has sort of come to a bit of a halt. It was just going up and up and up every year. Now that's been trimmed. Men can now expect to live on average 83.4 years, and women 86.2. And remember that 2016, this is after the referendum, saw the biggest UK population rise for 70 years, which is unbelievable. And this is after the Cameron government said they would reduce net migration down to the tens of thousands. That was when Theresa May was the Home Secretary. And yet, in 6 years later, in 2016, the UK saw the biggest population increase for 70 years. And Andrew Nash of the ONS Population Prediction says over that period, 54% of growth is expected to result directly from international migration. So there is still the prospect of international migration, because, of course, if we come out of Europe and free movement stops, then employers and hospitals may look to other countries like Asia. They may look for more professional workers from those countries to fill important jobs, to fill more highly paid jobs, more professional jobs at a higher level. So they're still expecting that there'll be migration into the country. And that would be a good thing, because at the moment, with uncontrolled free movement, you know, you don't have any control over the type of worker you get. If you just fill the country with unskilled workers or people just working in coffee bars, that doesn't produce a lot of tax for the country, because you don't pay tax in the UK until you've reached over 11,000. You pay zero tax. So if you're in a low paid job earning 14 or 15,000, you're not paying very much tax. The first 11,000 is free anyway. Then if you've got children, you get allowances, you get child benefit and all sorts of things. And if they're at school, then, you know, each child at school will cost the state approximately £4,000 to £5,000 a year. So two people with low paid jobs, not paying much tax, and a couple of kids at school are actually costing the country money. They're not benefiting from the country's not benefiting from their taxes, because they actually cost more than they produce, if you know what I mean. So getting workers in, like nurses, like doctors from outside of the EU and on, or inside the EU, but on a work permit on a controlled basis, wherever they come from, is a better way of doing it. If you have a points-based system where you take in staff at a certain level, then it will benefit the country, because they will pay more tax and generate more wealth on average. These according to government statistics. It's not just my opinion. So over the decade from 2016, the expected growth in England's population is put at an extra 5.9%. Northern Ireland and Scotland and Wales are a bit slower. These are projections. So what I'm trying to say here is that with all these people coming in, with and the population growing, not just people coming in, but the population growing in general, and, you know, people, if people are living into their 80s, and they're saying that the people over 85, the number of people over 85 will double. And that means that takes longer for those properties to be released onto the market. As people die, you know, the property gets sold and somebody else moves in. But if people are living longer and the expected number of 85 plus year old people is going to double, then, you know, we're going to need more properties. And, you know, if you think about it, they're saying that over 3.5 million extra people in the next 10 years. Well, the government said we need to build 200,000 homes a year, which over 10 years is 2 million homes, right? But there's over 3.5 million people coming in. And all right, not every one of those needs a home. And we don't even know if the government and the businesses will build 200,000 homes a year. They're not reaching that target at the moment. So we don't know what will happen. And if house builders are not getting good prices for their homes, then they will slow things up as they are at the moment. So I think property will still be a good investment, because the population will still be increasing. More people have been born and people are in general living longer. And you have the situation of, you know, one in three marriages ended in divorce. That creates the need for more units of property. So in other words, what I'm trying to say here is that the growth in population and general factors in the UK, and the growth, I think the economy will still grow after Brexit, will mean that there will be a need for new homes. There's already a shortage of homes, so we've got some catching up to do. In fact, the 200,000 a year homes they need is just to satisfy current demand. So property is a long-term investment. You can't just expect to, you know, make money quick on properties, that properties are going to suddenly jump up in value. But over the longer term, for the past 1,000 years or so, properties have generally gone up in value, and they're not going to go back to zero, okay? So I think property is still a good investment, and it's still a good thing to buy properties. Also, I mean, in 25 years' time, they believe there'll be close to 73 million people. But that's a little bit less than there were after the EU referendum. But, you know, let's see, 73 million people is a lot of people for this small island. But so I think we're going to need more properties, and property will still be a good investment because of simple supply and demand economics. Okay, if you want to invest in property, make sure you learn how to do it properly. I can introduce you to some courses, not that I run, but friends of mine run, where you can, in 3 days, you can get a very broad brush view of the various strategies you can use to get into property, such as you know, buy-to-lets, single buy-to-lets, HMOs, houses in multiple occupation, no money down techniques, rent to rent, and lease options, lease purchase options, rent to buy. There's so many different strategies you can learn in those few days, conversions as well. And you can learn that in the 3 days. And they offer that as a complimentary 3 days, because what they hope you will do is to, you know, purchase further courses and go into a more deep dive into an area where, you know, which you think is of interest to you. So let me know if you're interested in that. Just email me, charles@charleskelly.net, or just send me a message on Messenger if you're watching on Facebook Live, because I think you will benefit from that. Don't just rush out and buy property without learning about it, because it can be a very costly mistake. And remember, you don't need money to get into property. There are many very good no money down strategies where you can get into the property market using none of your own money. That's no money down, none of your own money strategies to get into property. I've used many of these strategies myself, and you can do it. A lot of people think you need big deposits to get into property. It's not true. There are many no money down strategies. I want to talk about the word of the day today, which is money consciousness. It doesn't mean just waking up, oh, I'm here. Money consciousness, which I describe in my book, Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. Money consciousness describes an important thought process when considering your financial well-being. Those who adopt a positive money mindset can know that they save, they invest, they expect money to come in, and they will do well. And it is also about where you see yourself with money. If you have a positive money consciousness, you have a good relationship with money. You feel that you deserve money. You feel that, you know, you can earn more money. Where you have money consciousness doubts, then, you know, you feel that you have a ceiling above your head, and you think, well, I can't earn more than that. I don't deserve more than that. And I've seen this many times. I've seen this where people that have a low ceiling of money consciousness, or their money mindset is like a thermostat set to a fixed temperature, and they can't get above that. You know, they feel that if they're earning a certain amount of money in a month, that's all they can do. That's all they can earn. It's about your expectations and your money consciousness. In the book Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, I think it must be like nearly 100 years ago now, said money consciousness, if you have the right money consciousness, then it's like a flowing river, and money will come towards you. You can attract money. This is what money consciousness is. You can read more about it in my book, Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. And finally, just remember about the property. Population due to hit 70 million in the next 10 years, and there will be a need for more properties. They have to build 200,000 properties a year just to keep up with current demand, and they're not even doing that. And 200,000 a year over 10 years is 2 million properties, but I don't think they're going to reach that at all. So property, I think, is still a good long-term investment, but don't go into it with your eyes closed by just jumping into it. Take advice, or better still, learn about it by going on one of the courses. Email me if you're interested, and we'll put you on a free course that can get you started and get you thinking and get you on the right road. So thanks for listening. Thanks for everyone who tuned in on Facebook Live and on my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Check out my website, moneytipsdaily.com. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.